In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're now on Lesson 16, and we'll go into some depth on the first commandment of God. This is on page 196. The first commandment, there's a cartoon there at the beginning, commands the worship of God and forbids false worship. With the worship of God, of course, comes faith, hope, and charity. With false worship comes broken faith, broken hope, and broken charity. There's a, looks like a young girl there going to Madame Esmeralda, the local crystal ball teller. And, of course, to consult any divinization of charms or spells or getting your palm read, that kind of thing, in order to tell the truth. In order to tell the future, excuse me, attributes to a creature what belongs to God. So it says in very small letters with the cartoon, we must not set up some creature as God. But to the left there is a priest walking in procession, a Blessed Sacrament procession. He has the Holy Eucharist in what is called a monstrance cross, and he is holding the cross, or the monstrance, with what is called a humeral veil. He's also wearing a cope, and the altar boys are assisting in that, and it says in very small letters, we must give supreme worship to God alone. So, notice there is a natural virtue of religion. And the natural virtue of religion enables us to do the duties and whatnot of a particular religion. The natural virtue of religion is not particularly interesting, at least to me. But faith is. Faith is fascinating. This natural virtue of religion, St. Paul referred to it once by saying that there is a law written on all men's hearts. And that is a reflection of the eternal wisdom of God. And so the commandments, the Ten Commandments, amplify this natural law. So question 198, what is the first commandment of God? The first commandment of God is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. In question 199, what are we commanded by the first commandment? By the first commandment, we are commanded to offer to God alone the supreme worship that is due to him. Each of the Ten Commandments shows us how to love God and our neighbor. The first commandment tells us to give God the reverence and adoration he deserves as the supreme being. It is sinful to set up some creature as A, the chief object of our worship, or B, the chief source of our happiness, or C, the chief teacher of truth, or D, the chief moral guide. These make a god, small g, out of something created. And there are some examples that there, a person bowing to Buddha as if he were God, or worshiping money as if it were God, or science, or public opinion, whatever. All of that, we say, by the first commandment, all of that is wrong. In this cartoon, even Buddha would agree with it, by the way, since he went out of his way to tell his followers, do not worship me. But what is worship? Well, the very word is an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to give worth to something. So we say that science has worth, a great deal of worth. But the first commandment says that all the truth of science actually comes from God, that God is the truth, not science. Question 200. How do we worship God? We worship God by acts of faith, hope, and charity, and by adoring him and praying to him. So in question 201, what does faith oblige us to do? Faith obliges us first to make efforts to find out what God has revealed. Second, to believe firmly what God has revealed, and third, to profess our faith openly whenever necessary. The love of God will make us want to find out what God has told us about himself. It will make us want to be with him in heaven and to know more and more about the way which leads there. Since we are on the way to God during all our time on earth, love will make us always study how we can advance more surely and rapidly toward him. We begin this study in school, but we must continue it all our lives by reading and learning about God and the things of God. The love of God will make it easier to believe firmly what God has revealed. Love is the living of what we believe. Living our faith gives us an unshakable conviction that it is true. And the love of God will give us the desire and the courage to profess our faith openly whenever there is need, and even to die for it if the occasion arises. So we are obliged to find out what God has revealed. He is a hidden God. He said that of himself in the scriptures through David, his prophet. Truly, thou art a hidden God. But he gives clues. And our good Lord Christ said, seek and ye shall find. So the knowledge of him goes only to those who seek. And to seek is demanding. To believe is demanding. To profess what we believe is very demanding. But on the other hand, it's almost easy if you love. The more you love, the easier it is to sacrifice. When my father or my mother were dying, both of them took a lot of care at the end. It was exhausting. But I wouldn't really call it hard. Many times, even the most strenuous tasks, I did without thinking, even having to think about it. I did without having to make a choice. I just did it automatically. Dad needs my help. Mom needs my help. And this came from love. So it is that with each of these things, seeking, the believing, the professing, when we love, they're almost easy. You'll see what I mean as time goes on. Question 202. What does hope oblige us to do? Hope obliges us to trust firmly that God will give us eternal life and the means to obtain it. So the love of God will give us the confidence we need in God's faithfulness to his promises. He has promised us heaven and all the helps for body and soul that we need to get there. For our soul, we need sanctifying and actual graces, the virtues, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the sacraments, etc. For our body, we need food, clothing, shelter, medical care, etc. If we love God, we shall understand his loving care of us, and we shall trust firmly that his love will never leave us without the things we need to serve him. Or, if you will never be without the things we need in order to be saved. And notice, there's not a note of optimism here. This isn't optimism. Things often simply do not work out, to speak loosely. Hell exists. That's proof of things not working out, say, for the fallen angels. And this life is called a valley of tears, or a veil of tears, as we pray in the great hymn, The Hail, Holy Queen. So hope is for everlasting life and salvation, not necessarily that things are going to work out hunky-dory here on earth.